Amazing. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have another story for you for comprehensible input. This is part of a playlist. It is a serialized story. Our protagonist, Gil, has just arrived in Constantinople. His ship docked at the wharf at Serkaji. Serkaji is the wharf for Constantinople, the main port, and it is adjacent to the Golden Horn. As Gil disembarked the ship, he was stricken by the extraordinary appearance, sounds, and smells of Constantinople. He fell back onto old habits. After he disembarked the ship, he made his way on foot away from the wharf and toward the center of town. Of course, he didn't know exactly where the center of town was, so he estimated and continued walking away from the wharf. The first order of business would be to secure lodgings. He needs a place to stay, and his plan, per usual, would be to secure a hotel room. This would be for a few days with the plan to move to a room or an apartment a few days later. He figured that because Constantinople is a large cosmopolitan port city, he would be okay with his English or perhaps his French. He knew no Turkish. He planned to select a hotel based on whether they could speak to him in either English or French. He entered the first hotel he encountered that looked reasonable and greeted the staff member. He greeted him in English and got a response in Turkish. He tried his French and again got a response in Turkish. He thanked the man in English and said goodbye in French. This was repeated two more times with a similar response. It was during this process of finding a hotel room that he realized that he actually needs to know some Turkish in order to function in this city. When he arrived at the fourth hotel, he did precisely the same thing. But this time the fellow at the desk responded with a broad smile and a clearly spoken good morning. He had just met Mehmet. Mehmet turned out to be an important ally for Gil. They spoke briefly, and Gil secured a room. He arranged for his belongings to be brought from the ship, and he settled in. That day, as he tried to get his meals at the restaurant, he used mostly pointing and gesturing to get his message across. He trusted the restaurant staff to make correct change from the money that he had. He knew this was not satisfactory and he would need to learn some Turkish. On that day, he decided to find a tutor. His priority, however, was to get a room or an apartment and move out of the hotel. He asked Mehmet for a recommendation for where he could rent a room, and a very good recommendation was made. Mehmet explained that the landlord spoke some English and that this would be quite easy. He provided the address and the identity of the new landlord. Gil went to that location and quickly secured a room. The landlord did speak enough English to negotiate this transaction, but other than that, his English was extremely limited. Nonetheless, Gil settled into his room and found it satisfactory. He asked the new landlord for a recommendation about a tutor so that he could learn some Turkish, but this question did not generate a response. he had overwhelmed the landlord's skills in English. Undaunted by this, he figured he would go back to the hotel and pose the same question to Mehmet. Again, Mehmet was very happy to help and had a ready answer. He said, "Certainly, I know exactly the fellow you should talk to. His name is Shahin." He provided Gil with an address and directions how to find the place. Shortly, Gil found himself knocking at the door of the apartment to meet Shahin. His knock was greeted by a young man who greeted him in Turkish. Gil spoke to him in English, inquiring whether he was Shahin. He was looking for Shahin. The fellow smiled and said, "No, I am Duan. I am renting Shahin's apartment. He is down in Bursa." Gil immediately looked dejected. This was not what he had in mind. Duan said, "If I may ask, why would you need Shahin?" Gil explained that he had been referred to him as a potential tutor. To this, Duan responded, "That is not a problem. I would be very happy to help you with this." He added, "I assume you're prepared to pay." Gil said, "Certainly." At that point, Duan outlined his plan. He said that they should get together every day or nearly every day and talk, initially mostly in English, but the Turkish language would be gradually introduced. Over time, their conversations will gradually convert almost entirely into Turkish. Duan explained that they would walk around the city and explore various things, using the city as a way to introduce the language. They would share meals. He said that by doing this, the Turkish language will gradually be absorbed. You will get what you need. Gil asked, "When should we start?" Duan said, "Today." Gil said, "Now?" Duan said, "Evet." Gil understood that to mean yes. Duan turned and closed the door behind him and locked it. He gestured to the street and said, "Boydarin." Gil asked, "Does that mean after you?" Duan explained, "Basically it does. It's a very polite way of asking someone to proceed. Basically it means after you or go ahead." He added that Boyrin has other meanings as well. With that, they took off down the street on their first of many lessons that proved valuable to Gil. They had lunch together and decided that they would again meet the following day. On the third day, during their walk, Duan recommended that they have lunch at a typical restaurant that serves tripe soup. He called it Eşkembe Çorbası. They did just that. When the soup was served, Duan explained that it was made with tripe from lamb and that it was very rich. It has a very strong flavor. He recommended the use of the pepper flakes as a nice garnish for this soup. They were seated at an unusually large table, and the garnish was on the table, but it was fairly far away from where they were seated. When Duan recommended the use of the pepper flakes, Gil located them by sight on the table and reached for them. The pepper flakes were out of reach. As he extended his arm, he realized that he would not be able to easily reach the pepper flakes and that he would have to adjust his position. However, at that moment, the bottle of pepper flakes moved smoothly and quickly into his hand. These pepper flakes moved nearly 1 foot in about 1 second. When this occurred, Gil was hoping that it had not been witnessed by anyone. He did not want to demonstrate this ability to the public, and certainly not to Duan. Because Gil did not want to draw any attention to this, he did not react quickly. He retrieved the pepper flakes to his plate and then gradually turned his gaze to Duan to discern whether he had noticed this strange ability. When he met Duan's gaze, he saw that his eyes were wide and focused directly on Gil. With that, Duan said, "Koryoju." Gil inquired, "What did you say? What does that mean?" At this point, Duan's stare mellowed into a friendly smile again, and he repeated, "Koryoju." He said, "In English, it means keeper." He then pointed to Gil and said, "You are a keeper." Gil was not prepared for this. He did not expect that anyone would know about the amulet and his relationship with the amulet. How could Duan know? Well, the answer to that question was quickly forthcoming, because immediately Duan reached into his own shirt and produced an amulet, which he held between thumb and forefinger in a pincer grip, and he held it at the level of his chin, demonstrating it to Gil. Without a word, Gil did exactly the same thing. Each showed the other the amulet, and then immediately they were put away, out of sight. Now they both understood. They are both keepers. Their conversation now centers on the implications of having this extraordinary amulet. In the next video, you will learn what they discussed and what they discovered about themselves, each other, and the implications of having an amulet. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.